Hey guys, we are glad that you are here with us to talk about Black Saturday, correct? Am I correct in that?
Yep.
And hey, if you have not listened to the past podcasts that we've been kind of journeying through from our Ash Wednesday one all the way through this Holy Week, we encourage you to go back and do that. But yeah, here we are.
This is the end of our journey for the Resurrection Chronicles. We started with Lent. And began this journey of like entering into death. And if what I just said doesn't make sense, like that further validates the reason to go back from the beginning and like start listening from the beginning. And then we started with Palm Sunday, where Jesus enters into Jerusalem and talked about a fig tree and like the beginning of things, kind of taking this like big turn. Which moved into Tuesday, where Jesus calls out some like pretty dangerous people and starts getting the ball rolling on things. Wednesday, like plans really get in place for Jesus to be betrayed and killed. And then Thursday, things kind of like take this pause and Jesus has dinner with his disciples and really reveals himself for who he is. He breaks the bread and says, "This is me." And then kind of gives them this commission that people all over the world, especially like priests and different faith traditions, have used as kind of like this anniversary to like renew their vows to Jesus of like, "I will love others as you have loved me again this year for the rest of my life and again." Which brought us to yesterday, Good Friday, where this was the lead up to Jesus's death on the cross. But we also talked about it being the death of death, the end of death, and how it is inherently good in itself. Parts of it are without the resolution of Easter, but there is goodness within Friday itself. But of course, we are headed towards Easter, and the next day on this journey is Black Saturday. And here we are.
Yeah, and so first of all, it is a gift to be able to talk about Saturday. I don't think I've ever been able to have a forum or a context to do it because, you know, in our typical context, it's you hurry past pain as fast as possible, you know? And I think it's truly a gift to be able to be here and to talk about Saturday, Black Saturday, because there's a handful of things that I bring on this topic, and then I'm sure each of you have things that you want to share too. First of all, Black Saturday is seen as the void. That's important.
Yeah.
It's seen as the void because it is. The Bible begins, the whole journey of the Bible begins in the void. And a void isn't the absence of things. It's everything being so chaotic that they cancel each other out.
You can do nothing.
Yeah. It's like everything is in the void. And it's so chaotic that there isn't anything. It's just blackness.
Yeah.
And that's where this idea of Black Saturday comes. There's so much everything, but it's nothing.
Yep.
It's a pregnant chaos.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the vision, I think, of Saturday. This is pregnant chaos that gives the impression of just empty, but it's everything.
Yeah. There, like, it's interesting, like, looking into how different, like, faith traditions take on this day. It's kind of half and half. Like, half of the people view it as, like, a day of sorrow. They hold these, like, symbolic funerals and burials. And then the other half, it's like a party and a celebration, like, taking Jesus's word of "it is finished" as literal. It's like it's been done.
Death is dead.
It's like nobody knows which lane
nobody knows
to pick because of just of what you described.
And it's like, who is correct. They both are.
Yes.
You know, yep. And there's probably others who have a totally different view on it. But from a Jewish perspective, it's this idea of the void. And you're kind of brought back to the beginning of the Bible, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the void, taking a survey of the chaos.
Yep.
And there's the intent of God to create what's inside this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
And we can't go there because it's Saturday, but yeah. Tomorrow takes place in a garden.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's just like, I have goosebumps. Yeah. Like, it's so good and beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. So the other thing, so you take the idea of the void and the beginning of the Bible, the Spirit of the Lord, and creation, you just put that in your back pocket. That's it for now. But something else to pull
do
up.
Do something with it.
Just do something with it. Have fun with it. But then the other thing is traditionally and biblically, Jesus is dead for
3 days.
3 days. Mm-hmm. There's a 72-hour period. I don't want to get into the calendar thing. Yeah. But there is a 3 day period that Jesus is in the grave. So on the third day, there's a lot of Judaic value in Jesus being dead for 3 days. And I just want to just go here just briefly.
Yeah.
So in Hebrew theology, if someone is dead, they're not actually fully dead until they've been dead for 3 days.
Huh.
But there's a thing. So Jonah in the belly of a whale for 3 days.
Yep.
Think about the story of Lazarus. So he died, and then Mary, you know, comes to Jesus and says, come heal him. And then Jesus says, I can't, I'm sorry. And then it says, after the third day, Jesus comes and she's angry. She's like, he's actually dead now.
Mm. You waited too long.
Yeah, it's like he's actually really dead.
He's not mostly dead.
Yeah, he's really dead. And so if you think about it in the context, and there's this point that someone isn't actually dead. They can be healed. They can be brought back. Mm-hmm. They haven't fully transitioned and been given over to death yet. And so that there is this, second example or a third example is the boy whose father thought he had died, and Jesus comes and heals him and says he was only asleep. Mm-hmm. Well, he was actually dead, but in Hebraic theology, and he was only sleeping. So if Jesus would have come back on the second day or the first day, the Hebrew people would be like, nah. He
Makes
was
sense.
Just asleep.
Yeah.
No big deal. This happens all the time. He wasn't actually dead. And so there's this idea of something being really dead.
Yeah.
And I bring this up because of the place that our journey began, the invitation going into the desert, the searching of ourselves, the church calendar of the Advent, the coming of Christ, then the Epiphany that happens, and then you're following him into the desert, the call of take up your cross and follow me. And it is advantageous for us to say the thing that died on the cross that we put there has to actually be dead. Our goal is not to pick that up again.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we brought into the desert and said, this doesn't serve the kingdom, should not be picked up again. It's really dead. This idea of sin and the things that have been atoned for, it would be advantageous for us from a heart perspective to say, he really conquered death. Because I won't pick these things up again.
Yeah, there's no need to.
Yeah. it's really dead. It's just not there sleeping and hiding until contextually it comes back again for culture to say it actually hadn't been dead. It was just asleep. The church has become famous for saying that things are dead, but they actually aren't. Mm-hmm. And there are sins of the church that have just been asleep. But to proclaim the trueness of the death of death is a church who can embrace Jesus actually died. Yep. And he was really dead.
Yep.
And so did I.
Yep. That's awesome. I was thinking about just this day coming into this and asking the question, it's like, why didn't Jesus come back immediately? And so like from the Hebrew perspective, that makes a lot of sense too. And the Bible isn't like super clear what happens between Jesus' death and his resurrection, which is really fun. But my favorite take on it is kind of what you alluded to a little bit, the fact that it's the Sabbath.
Yep.
And just this idea of like, no, you rest on the Sabbath.
It is finished.
Yeah, he can't come back on the Sabbath. Sabbath is the day of rest. And just as he did throughout his whole life and as he instituted in the very beginning, no, I can't come back on the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath.
I'm going to honor the Sabbath. He is done and so are you.
Yeah, yeah. Like he said, it is finished. Yeah. Just as God got done creating everything, it's it's finished. Sabbath.
Yep.
And then the next day, a man pops out of a garden, and it's so good.
And the creation story begins.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
So something we didn't really talk about yesterday, and we'll only be able to even like touch on this, if anything, is just what did Jesus's death do? Like what happened when he died? And this really ties in to like, we can't talk about the death of death unless we talk about this.
Yep. Let's do it.
Okay. So
part of me is like, who's going to do
this? I'm very excited.
Yeah. All right. So I am not at all claiming I have it figured out. I don't have the answers. Like, I don't know if I can ever fully know how it was that Jesus's death accomplished this. But like, we know the result of this is when he died, he conquered death and he came out, poetically speaking, with the keys of the gates of death in his hands, which, like, I picture, like, this wrestling match where, like, he goes down in the wrestle and he pins death and says, you're mine now, and comes back, and which, again, we can't talk about because that's tomorrow, but, like, there's something that happened here where it's, like, there's this finality to what he said on the cross. It is finished. Something was finished on Friday. And there's this thing about death where he comes back explaining the reality of things. Again, I can't talk in specifics about this.
All right, I want to have some fun here something
let's
in.
Let's do it.
And it's a podcast, so this is conversational.
Yeah, right,
and there's freedom here and grace. How to begin? Okay, so it is our belief that Jesus is the Messiah, right?
Right.
So the Messiah, the Savior of all things.
Yep.
From a Jewish perspective, the Messiah is the Torah incarnate. That is, from a contextual standpoint, that is the first five books of the Bible. But from a poetic standpoint, it is the Word of God. And when you talk about the Word of God from a Jewish perspective, it is the very thing that God spoke into the void.
Okay.
Whatever he said that caused the darkness and the light to separate.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Like the atomic bomb in verbal form.
Yep. Yep.
This is the Word.
Yep, yep.
And it does not have a place in time and space. It is. And it's all things.
Mm-hmm.
And Jewish people believe that everything that has been, is, and will ever be is intertwined and composed by the hand of God in the mind and head of God in Torah.
Okay.
The first.
It's all in there.
From a contextual standpoint.
Okay. But in the speaking of the word, separation of light and dark, the separation of the atmosphere and the ground, the all of it. And then he places manna and says, go and do good things. You know, like the heart of God, there are all things. And to a sense, I'm going to like dumb it down a ton here.
Great.
Thank you.
Somewhere in the Torah, because it just doesn't go in Hebrew from left to right and, you know, so right to left, and it goes up and down, and there's a 3D dimension, okay. And like, they're all these things. It's impossible. And a rabbi would say somewhere in Torah, they would say Jenny and Stetson and KJ are sitting at a table talking about Black Friday, and KJ is talking about Torah. Like, it's in there somewhere. All things that have been, are, and will ever be are inscribed and spoken in the word of God.
Okay.
This is Torah. The Messiah is Torah incarnate. So Torah is pumping through the veins of Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus is the expert on Torah. So again, being dumbed down, what is Torah? It's the story of everything that has been, is, and will ever be, is incarnate in flesh and blood in Jesus, because he is the Messiah. He is the word that was spoken to separate the light from the dark, mm-hmm. to speak into the void, the darkness, the chaos, and he orders it, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. okay. Black Saturday is the void. Like, okay. And so you have this idea that Jesus is the Torah incarnate, the stories of everyone who ever has been, is, and will ever be, is coursing through his veins. And so when he died, from a Jewish theology perspective, if he was the Messiah, everything that has ever been,
yep.
is, and will ever be, died at the same time.
Yep. And everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there is so much beauty in this idea of I died that day.
Yep.
And he saw me. He,
yep.
And so it just wasn't this simple, the blood has been paid. Yeah. Our stories have been paid. They were already seen and known and spoke. Like, there's a lot of beauty there. And it coursed through all of time, separating the light from dark and the atmosphere from ground. And I mean, like, And this is why at a centerpiece of our theology is the value of the word of God. This is why the Gospel of John begins by, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Like, all the things, you know? And this is the thing that happened. It's the speaking into chaos, but the chaos is our own hearts. Separating the light from the dark, because we often see ourselves as paralyzed in the void of there isn't anything.
Yeah. Which totally feeds into it is finished. It's like he's taken everything and everyone with him. Yep. And if that sounds a bit far-fetched and ridiculous, it totally fits the verbiage of so many verses in the New Testament.
Right. Like,
we have died with Christ.
This
and
is
we
the
have been
Bible.
Like, resurrected in him. And
yep.
Yeah, and if that sounds a little bit far-fetched or wild, I would say, good. I don't think you can have a simple explanation for how the death of Jesus brings about the end of death. There is something cosmic and spiritual and physical and whatever other categories we're just totally unaware of that happens in that moment that is occurring or has occurred on that Saturday. And the disciples are just like totally oblivious to it, but it's like something beyond description has occurred. And tomorrow, I think, is just the revelation of that.
And don't you think, I mean, like, hypothetically, from a promise perspective, or like from a human perspective, if it ended here, it would actually been okay. From a sin has been paid. The debt has been paid. If the only goal of people is to be okay.
Yeah.
If it's all just about paying our debts off.
Yep.
If it's about like the conquering of sin.
Then it's done.
We're done. It's over. I think that's the thing that's really, really cool about Jesus and Christianity is for our Father, it's not just okay to be okay.
Yep.
He wants you to rise as he did.
Yep.
He wants you to have promise, inheritance, beauty, and purpose and value. That's the beauty of Easter, is it has a different vocabulary than just atonement.
Yes.
It's people who are the followers of Christ follow him out of the grave. Death does not define us.
Yep.
It's really cool.
It's really cool.
I love that. Thank you, guys. I'm sad this is over.
Me too.
Yeah.
It has been, before it's done, it has been so fun, guys. Yes. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here. It's been an honor.
Yeah. So. And I think, like, the heart of this has been so that we can truly experience tomorrow well.
Yep.
And know tomorrow well. That has been our heart. It's not it's just
to
that we
show up and actually celebrate.
Yeah. And so along the lines of the things that we said, it's like with all of our heart, we hope that tomorrow is amazing. Yeah.
Well, I hope this has blessed you as much as it has me. But yeah, we encourage you to go over to our website. We invite you to a Good Friday service, to our Easter services. You can find more information on our website at cccgreeley.org.